Welcome back to The Word at Work. This is the podcast for Christian professionals, where we dig into topics to support you in thriving professionally and of greatest importance, living biblically. I'm your host, Miranda Carls. Well, today we are welcoming back my good friend, Christy Bulware. She's the executive director of Fearless Unite and author of the brand spanking new book called Nervous Breakthrough. Christy is a local friend of mine here in the St. Louis area, and she is such a blessing to my life. And I know you all will love getting to know her better as well. Because we've had Christy on in the past, I'm going to direct you all back to her prior episode. I'll link that in the show notes. In that episode, she shares a lot more about her personal story. She was working in a high demand job, and a severe nervous breakdown pulled her out of that world and into the arms of Jesus and into ministry through Fearless Unite. And I'm so glad that he did, because she's just doing great work. So go back to that episode if you weren't with us when it first aired. I want to get a little bit deeper with things today and provide new insights from Christy. Christy, thanks so much for being with us today.
Miranda, it is a joy. I am so honored to be here. Thank you.
Yes, always so fun. I will tell folks we hopped on the call about 20 minutes ago. And when you have a friend on, you're going to spend the first, half of the blocked out time just catching up. So that was good. But Christy, I'm so excited to share just your heart and your words of wisdom with others. And in your ministry, you provide Christ-centered encouragement and resources to those who are battling anxiety. Thought we could start with a little bit of kind of definition work around that, because while some anxiety is severe enough that it's absolutely unmistakable, it seems fair to say, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems fair to say that some of it might go dismissed. I think most everyone would say that they experience work-induced stress at some point. But how would you describe the difference between maybe regular workplace stress and then a more serious anxiety disorder? How might those things be different, and how might they be approached in similar or different ways?
This is a really great question, Miranda, and I am so passionate about teaching people what I call smoke alarms. Mm-hmm. And those are things that are going to happen in your body that are going to kind of alert you that anxiety is going on. Now, there are common phrases like, I have butterflies in my stomach, or you're a pain in my neck. Those are like common phrases that actually kind of are trying to communicate that there's some anxiety going on. So normal anxiety, like I'm getting ready to confront somebody in the workplace. Maybe I'm frustrated. Maybe they're not performing. Maybe they're not doing their job well. I mean, whatever it might be, that you might have a little bit of anxiety around that. Now, I'm generally, I don't mind conflict, so it might not affect me like it affects someone else. Mm-hmm. However, I still get nervous in those situations. So you might have a little butterfly in your stomach, or you might not sleep the greatest the night before, sort of anticipating that conversation. And these are what I would just call like normal anxiety. These things are just, hey, in this life, we're going to have trouble. In this life, mm-hmm. we're going to have a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of stress. Those are kind of normal things that I don't put like too much, like, hey, it's okay if you got to walk through that. As long as your body rebounds from that and you're not feeling this constant butterfly in your stomach, or the tension headache, or the insomnia, or the racing of the thoughts, as long as it just comes and goes, especially after the moment of maybe the conflict or whatever you're walking through is over, then I would say that that's pretty normal. Now, where it gets problematic is if those smoke alarms are going off over and over and over, and you just keep plowing through and you ignore them. So things that I try to tell people to look for are like, if you've got like a tightness in your chest, or like where it kind of feels like a band coming across it, or maybe you're having like shortness of breath, or maybe you're having heart palpitations and your heart's just beating so fast. Maybe you're not sleeping very well because you're constantly thinking over and over about something. Maybe you're frustrated with somebody at work, or maybe you're discontent in your role. Maybe you're trying to figure out your purpose in life, or, these kinds of things. If it starts to be like, I'm having these things happening over and over and over, and they're not getting better, that's an indication that maybe this isn't just, spotted anxiety, that you're actually moving more into like anxiety that is not helpful, is not good for you. So I try to just say, like, really pay attention to that. And then It's if you get to the point where like your daily activities are no longer, then we're in real serious danger. Like if you can't shower, if you can't get out of bed, if you're having a hard time completing your daily tasks, you know, getting your job done, you know, performing at work, then we're getting into some more danger zones.
That's helpful. And you mentioned a few kind of different ways that that can show up and in different settings, because anxiety often feels directly tied to something else in our lives. We can have anxiety about our parenting, or about relationships, or about our health or finances, or any number of things. Are there always specific triggers for feelings of anxiety? What are some of the common workplace anxiety triggers that either you've experienced in the past or that you hear from your community members bringing up?
I have often found, and I think Craig Rochelle says something very similar to this, but wherever fear is present, it often shows me where I'm trusting God the least. So a lot of times it would be like a relationship issue. I don't trust God to give me the wisdom or the courage to go into a hard conversation and tell someone, you know, I don't feel like you're meeting my expectations, or you really hurt my feelings when you said X, Y, Z. So we really need to communicate about that. Or let's talk about provision. I mean, just the other day, I was having this whole situation where I was concerned about money and will God provide and is it going to be okay? And I just heard him whisper to me, you know, do you trust me to provide? And I think if we'll get deep enough with those questions, do you trust God to be your wisdom, your comforter, your guidance, your advocate, you know, your counselor, all of those things? Do you trust him to do those things in your life? And you'll really kind of begin to pinpoint. And I think sometimes, especially in the workplace, we tend to separate our corporate world and our spiritual world sometimes. And that's what I just love about your podcast, Miranda, and just the work that you're doing in the world, because it doesn't have to be that way. We're Christians all the time, and we need to be Christians all the time. And I think that we need to trust him with our work and know that he's there and that he cares about everything that we care about. The desires of our heart are probably there because he's put them there, especially if we're surrendered and walking with him closely. So I guess I would just say, you know, the smoke alarms and all the triggers, all those things, it's so important for us to be in tune with that. But really, ask the honest question, am I trusting God? And is some of the fears and worries that I'm facing right now because I'm trying to clutch the wheel, I'm trying to take over, I'm trying to do it in my own strength? Because I have found the more I surrender, the more peace I have. The more I clutch and try to take over, the less peace I have. So really, it's just a choice. Will you wake up every day and give it all to him?
Yeah, that act of surrender. That's hard sometimes. I think it can be you know, increasingly difficult within our jobs, because like you said, we compartmentalize and we don't let him in, we don't surrender our work to him in the same way that we might surrender things outside of work to him. So I'm glad that you brought that up, because there's such a clear tie to that. And if we're really walking our days with God in the workplace, we'll feel his presence with us. And that, I mean, that always decreases the fear when we remind ourselves who's in control here. So good. Well, Christy, you have had to get obviously really comfortable talking about your story with anxiety, so that you can lean into your ministry and your writing, and you do a beautiful job with that. And for many of us, that can be really uncomfortable. And I know it was probably uncomfortable for you in the beginning, but it's hard to bring up struggles with anxiety. I had, and I've shared this with you before, but just terrible postpartum anxiety after my pregnancies, and have also had seasons of anxiety throughout my professional career. And it has sometimes felt very uncomfortable to talk about that. And I think we all feel that it can make a person feel ashamed or even less adequate at their job or parenting or whatever area of life within which that anxiety is occurring. What are some of the stigmas that you've heard around the topic of anxiety, and maybe especially within Christian circles?
I think First, before I address this question, I need someone on the other side to know that I get you and I understand you. In some of the darkest moments of my anxiety, I had suicidal thoughts. And I know what it feels like to be in such a dark place that you don't think you're going to make it out, and you're not sure that you want to make it out, and that the you're contemplating if death would be better than the hell that you're experiencing on earth. So I have been there, and I know what that feels like. So the stigmas, and I also had a lot of shame around that. And it was very, it's still very difficult for me to say, like, hey, I had suicidal thoughts. But I think sharing those things has made me realize that it's helping someone else, and there's freedom on the other side of that. And I didn't stay in that darkness, that there is hope, and the hope is Jesus. So for someone listening that maybe is there and hasn't shared their darkness, I want to encourage you to do that. Share with someone trusted. And I feel like in this realm of mental health, we somehow, especially go-getters and high achievers and people that are very successful in the workplace, we don't want to let people into that darkness. We don't want to let people know that things have gotten that bad. But I have to say that once I was able to share that, I cannot tell you how much freedom was on the other side of that. Because what happens is when our darkness stays in, it just gets darker and darker and darker. But when we can shine light, and hopefully that light is through other godly people that can speak truth into us, then that darkness doesn't have any power over us anymore. So I think first and foremost, learning to share with healthy, safe people. And I'm really big on safe people. And I want to kind of just give maybe some categories that I think are important for us all to understand. So Jesus had Peter, James, and John. And those were like his inner circle peeps. So the way that I like to kind of explain this is, you know, Miranda, frosted glass used to be really in and popular for showers. It's not so much in anymore, but walk through this analogy with me. Basically, so frosted glass, you can kind of see through it, but you can't see everything. And that transparency needs to be with pretty much everyone in your life. So they get to know maybe you're having a bad day, but they don't get to know all the juicy details. Now that glass that's completely see-through, that's reserved for your innermost people, your Peter, James, and John, your closest people. They get to hear the darkness. They get to hear the real thoughts you're thinking, the real struggles that you're walking through. And so the mistake that I have made in my mental health battle is I would let people in sort of a clear, like you could all the juicy details, and they had not earned that right in my life. Really, I should have been more frosted glass with them, or just, you know, just not at all, don't share at all. And I think that when you're dealing with mental health issues, you really have to take a step back and make sure that you're sharing with the right people, with the people that have earned the right to hear your innermost darkest moments. And there might be someone going, gosh, as she's saying that, I don't know that I have anybody. I don't know that I would share any of that with anybody. Well, then journal with God and get those out with God, or I would say a pastor or a Christian counselor. So those thoughts are so important to get out. So that is the first thing that I think with stigma is we have to be authentic and we have to get that out. The next thing I think too is the whole thought of if you have fear, you don't have enough faith. That whole idea just honestly gets me kind of frustrated, because when we look at scripture in the New King James Version, there is 404 references of fear. Now, some of those are referred to reverence and awe of God. So they're not all specific to fear and anxiety. However, the most of the rest of them are about fear, true fear. So if God gave us that many reminders that we are not to fear, it shows me that he cares about us so much that he knows we're going to fear. So to me, my fear has built my faith. Now, it's important to not stay in that fear. It's important to not like own fear as a badge of honor and anxiety as a badge of honor. But what my faith has gotten so much deeper because of the fears that I've walked through. So I just want to say to somebody on the other side that just because you have fear does not mean your faith is weak, but press into that fear, press into the love of God, and let his love cast out your fears.
Yeah, that's good. And I love that you mentioned the people around us are Peter, James, and John, and having close relationships and what that can look like. I think fellowship and community are so important, but often neglected, especially if we're in our careers and feel too busy to nurture relationships. And one thing you've built is you've built really beautiful community around the topic of anxiety. I know I attend church with many local women and friends who've been really blessed by your programs and the community that they have through Fearless Unite. Many listeners don't live near St. Louis to participate in your local events, but how could someone go about creating the right human relationships around them to support their thriving as they battle anxiety? So if they're in that space that you just spoke about they're listening in and thinking, I don't have those people, what would you recommend beyond, you know, journaling with God, but as far as like trying to seek out and create some community around themselves?
Making community, you're absolutely right, Miranda, is so important. God did not design us to be Lone Ranger Christians and just to do this life on our own. And he values the fact that community is important. And so this sounds so cliche, but if you are struggling with good, godly people around you right now, have you prayed? Have you prayed? I just had a situation where my son came home and he was frustrated about some friendship stuff. And we had a good conversation about like expectation of friends. And if someone isn't actually treating you like the friend that you want to have with them, like, why do we continue to spend time with people that aren't proving to us that they deserve our friendship, right? We spend so much time with people that maybe because there's lots of years invested, or, you know, we just don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to have a hard conversation, but it's just like, we just settle in friendships. And I think God wants to bring us good friendships. So anyway, I challenged my son to pray about friends, and goodness gracious, I have never seen God work so quick. And, you know, almost like the next day he had a new friend over at our house, and it was just the coolest thing to watch God work. And I'm not saying if you pray right now, that friend's going to show up at your doorstep tomorrow. But what I am saying is God cares about those things. He knows the hairs numbered on your head. Don't you think he cares about the friends that you're having? He does. He cares. So that would be my first step. Have you prayed? Have you asked God to bring those people in? And next, friendships can be like dating. It could be a little awkward. You've got to put yourself out there. You know, if there is a friend that you, or maybe somebody you look up to or you value, or you can tell someone is displaying the moral Christian ethics that you desire in a friend, have you approached that person? Have you asked them to coffee? Have you, you know, like put yourself out there and say, hey, I really appreciate the way that you do life. Would you be able to have a cup of coffee? I'm trying to make new friends. And and you'll just be so surprised how God will show up in ways. I think sometimes we're just too standoffish about approaching people, or she's too busy, she doesn't have time for me, da da da. And is it possible that you put yourself out there and that person's going to say no? Yeah. But at the end of the day, what do you have to lose? If you already don't have good, godly friends, you know, just move on to the next person and ask again, you know? So I think putting ourselves out there and approaching people, but then also praying for those friendships is very important.
Yeah. Yeah. And people are often so delighted to get an invitation to coffee or to lunch because, you know, you're listening in and you might feel alone, but there's a lot of, I think, lonely adults, you know, wandering around our world, especially after the last 3 years. And we all kind of went into isolation through COVID. And I think we're still carrying some of that forward, where we're not meeting with people quite as much as maybe we used to. So reaching out and getting those relationships started, that's good. Well, I'm thinking, Christy, of all the different people listening in, and what would you say to the person who is just feeling really stuck right now? Maybe they feel like everything that you've said makes sense, it's good advice, but they're still just feeling stuck in the mud, like they have absolutely no options personally, they're at a really low spot. I'm thinking of maybe the person who's a single parent or sole breadwinner. Maybe they're in a really stressful job that's causing them a lot of anxiety, but they need that to provide for their family, and they are experiencing chronic anxiety, but just feeling like they have no options. What would you tell that person?
I think it would be take the next right step. Mm-hmm. What is one little step that you can take today, and to not disregard the many miracles that God is doing in your life? Mm-hmm. There is so much discontentment that happens in our life because we're expecting such big things, when really the miracle is you woke up this morning and you're still alive. And I think if we can have more contentment and more gratitude for the good things that God is doing in our life, and not focus on the negative. Sometimes people like to say that anxiety is very eye-focused. And I have found a lot of times when I'm super anxious or worried about something, I'm thinking about just me, myself, and I, everything that I can do to focus on myself. So maybe, is there one thing that you could do to help someone else? Because when you're paying it forward and you're spreading, you know, comfort like confetti, it really changes your outlook and the things you're doing. And I think the other thing too is people think, well, I'm too far gone, or I have too much anxiety in my life, or I'm too far stuck to go and help somebody else. But I just think that that's a lie from the pits of hell, because anybody would be so grateful to hear, hey, I'd like to help you today, or can I take your groceries out to the car today, or just something to help someone else. And I know when I get my eye focus out and I stop thinking about all the things that I'm anxious about and start helping someone else, crazy enough, it starts calming down my anxiety. So I'm not trying to minimize people's pain or what they've been through, because I've been in the darkness and I know what it feels like to be completely clobbered by anxiety and have severe panic and anxiety disorder. But I do know that paying it forward and sharing comfort, the same comfort that God has given you, comfort someone else. I mean, that is really important if you really want to just kind of overcome that anxiety and discontentment that you've got going on in your life right now.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, Christy, you've got your new book coming out titled Nervous Breakthrough, as I mentioned. Can you tell us all a little bit about your new book?
Absolutely. So it's kind of a play on words. Nervous Breakthrough is really about my nervous breakdown, which now I've redefined as a nervous breakthrough. Mm. Its subtitle is Finding Freedom from Fear and Anxiety in a World That Feeds It. And I just think our world is inundated with fear and anxiety. And what do we do as men and women of God to overcome the crazy amounts of fear and anxiety that's coming at us? So it is a 13-chapter book, walks you through my story, but also practical tips and spiritual tips on how I was able to be more than an overcomer through Christ with severe panic and anxiety disorder. So I'm super excited about this book. And something that's kind of really cool is at the back of it, there's journal prompts and questions and scriptures and things mm-hmm. for you to just really sit with the content, because this book is not designed for, it's a quick read and it's an easy read, but the more that you'll sit with it and the more that you'll answer the questions in the back of the book, the quicker I believe you're going to find freedom and have your breakthrough. So I love that you've got the read, but then you've also got the kind of let's go deeper at the end with it as well.
Well, such a great resource for anyone who is struggling with anxiety, and a great gift to give to someone else in your life. And Christy has graciously offered to give away 2 copies of Nervous Breakthrough to the Word at Work listeners. I'll send a link out to my email list if you are on that, and you'll get a link to then click on and sign up for the giveaway. Keep an eye out for that in the coming week or so, and then Christy's team will draw 2 names to receive a free copy of Nervous Breakthrough. And as a bonus, everyone who enters will receive a free bonus chapter of the book. What's the bonus chapter about, Christy?
It's a juicy one. It's about me coming off of my antidepressants and mm-hmm. sort of my journey through that, what that looked like, how difficult it was, and maybe just some steps if somebody has it on their heart to try to get off of their antidepressants, you know, maybe some things to think about. And then also just gives hope for the people that feel like they still need to be on it, and that mm-hmm. that's okay. And it's so grateful for God giving us the gift of medication and being able to just have peace with whatever stage you're in with antidepressants. Hey!
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Word at Work. If you enjoy this podcast or get something good out of it, be sure to like, subscribe, and the biggest compliment